For those of you who don't know me, I am Onami Magwenzi, and as Pastor Nigel said, you know, I do come into the church on Tuesday, so I do pastoral care, and I'm also assimilation pastor for both C3 Wellard and C3 Fremantle. And my husband and I oversee the Wellard campus, and that's where we spend most of our Sundays. So I've got half the family here and half the family in Wellard this morning. So I've got my mother here from Botswana. And then I've got my son, my two daughters that are out there, Gugu and Witepo, and then my husband, Stephen, and Noctula at the Wellard campus. So, you know, a little bit more about myself is that I am a wife, I am a mother of four, I am a psychologist, but I am also a lover of words. I love words, I love poetry. So you're going to hear a bit of poetry today, not all of it mine. But before I go into that, I just wanted to share how funny our minds are. So this morning, I drank normal coffee. And normally, I have decaf. And as I was making it, I was telling myself, don't do this. Don't have normal coffee because it doesn't work for you. Because normally, I get heart palpitations when I have normal coffee. But I just felt like it, and I have a bit of a rebellious streak in me, so I decided to have it. Now, the consequences of that is I actually need to preach with my shoes off because I feel a little bit jittery. So do you mind if I take my shoes off? Okay, thank you. I'm just going to... Yeah, this is home, right? I'll just put them here. This has happened before in Wellard. I had to take my shoes off. Don't mind the nails. So... I just want to start off with this poem just to kind of acknowledge our pastors Nigel and Pastor Andrea for all the hard work that they've done and for their leadership, because for me, this is a reflection of who they are. It's called One Church, Two Locations. Very short. I have spoken to you in the auditorium. I saw a community spirit. I have passed you in the church hallways and doorways. I saw servanthood. I have shared meals with you. I saw genuine love for people. I have joined your connect groups. I saw love for the word, passion for God. I have sent you messages, called you. I saw commitment to the work of God. I have joined you in worship. I saw hunger. I saw thirst. I saw humility. One church, two locations. I saw unity. And that is testament to their leadership. So I just wanted to share that. So I just want to set the intention this morning, because I don't know whether when you came here, you had a plan of what you're hoping to get. I don't know if you have an intention. Did you just come to church because you're bored? Or did you come because of habit? Or did you come because you're expecting God to do something in your life? I have an intention, and my intention is that this morning there will be a shift in our thinking and a shift in our actions, that there will be miracles of the heart, that you will partner with me as we seek God about matters of the heart that ail us and hinder us from fulfilling the purposes of God for our lives. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would reveal truth to us. May we hear your heart for us. May we be open to change as you meet us at our point of need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I go through phases with preachers. Every now and then I have a preacher that I'm following. And it usually depends on what season of life I'm in. And sometimes I found myself comparing preachers. Now that's not a good thing. A few years ago, there was a lady preacher that I was following. I loved how she preached. I saw something in her that reminded me of something in me. But then down the track, I realized that I'd stopped listening to her. But it happened so quickly, I didn't even know it was happening. Until one day in prayer, God showed me that I'd stopped listening to this lady. And it was a conviction of a sin of judgment. God was saying, "You stopped listening to this person because of what happened in her life." Now, what had happened was this woman ended up in the public eye. She was a preacher, her husband was a preacher, and they ended up in the public eye. And I didn't know that I had placed judgment, but what I do know is I did stop listening to her, and God convicted me, saying, I told you you would learn from this woman. Sometimes that's what we do. We follow people, and then at some point, we stop following them because we place judgment. And you know, what I realized is that the trouble in her life exposed that I had put her on a pedestal. Because that's what we do when we follow preachers, when we follow people. I know, being from Africa, that's a very common thing. We follow that one, follow this prophet, follow that prophet. It's a huge thing. We put people on a pedestal. And then when all goes wrong, we turn the other way and we place judgment. I wonder if you can relate. I wonder if there's someone that you're following or something that you're proud of, you know, because of a sense of belonging that you get. Is there a culture, a socioeconomic status? Is there a club, a society, a church, a denomination that you follow? You know, when I was in, many years ago, I was in youth. I came to Australia and I attended youth groups. And I remember how the youth groups used to have cliques. It was so difficult to break through the cliques. And my friends had the same problem. And that was because people get comfortable. You see, most of these young people had grown up with each other. I was coming in from it as an outsider. And so it was very difficult to break through that. They were comfortable. I was isolated. I wonder if that still happens. Pastor Stephen spoke about there is a plan. That was a message he preached a few weeks ago. And Pastor Nigel preached about forgiveness and said that your future depends on it. Today, I want to talk about something different, but it touches on the same idea that there's some things that will stand in the way of the plans and purposes of God for our lives. So I'm going to talk today about spiritual pride, and my topic is Christ crucified, addressing spiritual pride. So how can we spot it? How do you spot spiritual pride? The Merriam-Webster dictionary defines pride as the quality or state of being proud, such as delight or elation arising from some act, some possession, or some relationship. My definition of spiritual pride is that pride connected to our relationship with God and His church. I'm going to read today from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 to 17. And this is the Apostle Paul. And he says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So how can we spot it? How do we spot spiritual pride? And I just wanted to touch on two areas that stood out for me. The first one is self-righteousness, and the second one is false humility. If we go back to verse 12, in regards to self-righteousness, it reads, what I mean is this. One says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. You know, this idea of denominations, the pride we have in belonging to a specific denomination. I am Catholic. I'm Pentecostal. I'm a Baptist. I belong to C3. I'm AOG. I'm Orthodox. I was reading a Bible commentary on this verse 12, and it highlighted that for some, it was about saying, I follow Paul. Paul, the founder of the church. I follow Apollos. Apollos, the one who has power and gifts. I follow Cephas or Caiaphas, the apostle who was given the keys to the kingdom. Now, the one thing that these statements have in common is the letter I. It's about self. Self-love. I want to share a second poem from one that I called Isles. It's just a little piece. Isles. Peruse. Peruse. As I peruse the aisles of life, I can't help but notice the devastation. As I look up and notice lives, I see dismantled dreams, shattered lives. Look at that one life. Has a loud laugh on the outside. Look closer and the eyes are emptied of true passion, true hope. Consumed by the drug of this world. Not just the one that messes with your mind, but the one I call self-love. That one that steals the very essence of humanity. The thing that really caught me in verse 12 was the bit that said, I follow Christ. You see, because on the surface, you might think, ooh, I follow Paul, that's not a good one. I follow Apollos, that's not a good one. I follow Caiaphas, ooh, that's not a good one. I follow Christ, yes, that's the one. I follow Christ. On the surface, it looks like that's what you should be doing. That's what you should be saying. But if you look closer, you realize that that's actually saying, I am the real Christian. You may follow Paul, you may follow Apollos, but me, I follow Christ. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Hold that thought. The second thing I want to talk about is false humility. You see, humility is seeing yourself and what you do the way God sees you. Pride is the opposite of that. I don't know if you ever come across these people or if you are one of those people. You talk to them and everything is praise him, not me. Everything is, I'll pray about it. You ask for a lift. We'll have to see what the Lord has to say. I used to struggle raising my hands in church or getting down on my knees. Not because I didn't want to, but because I was self-conscious. I wanted to, and I did on the inside, but I didn't on the outside. Why? People. I was worried about what people might think. Ooh, they might think, ooh, who does she think she is? Why is she getting down on her knees? Does she think she's all that? Does she think she's the spiritual one? Like, that's what went through my mind. And over year after year after year, I would hear God said, get down on your knees. And I wouldn't do it. Get down on your knees. And I wouldn't do it. Self-consciousness. Example of false humility. You see, most of my life, I've had a love-hate relationship with this word, leadership. About 26 or so years ago, I was in high school. And I was the class monitor. And then the following year, I was the school prefect. Then the following year, class of 96, I was the head girl of my high school. None of it was my choosing, by the way. I just found myself ending up in these positions. You know why? Because I was a nice girl. I was compliant. I didn't challenge anything or anyone. And then a few years ago, I decided that, you know, I want to start asking for a word for the year because I got tired of doing New Year's resolutions because I lost track along the way. every time I said them. So I decided to go with one word. And one year, God said, the word for the year is leadership. I was like, no way. I said, not me. I had a problem with the idea of leadership, and yet I always found myself there. Every town, I think we've probably lived in about 5 different towns. Every town we lived in, I always found myself ending up in leadership positions. And I was like, what's wrong with Stephen? I blamed him. Because he was passionate about leadership, and he didn't have a problem with it. And I was just following. And I remember one day God spoke to me about that. And he said, stop hiding behind my son. Stop hiding behind him. Because God wanted to show me that he wanted me to move a bit forward. Speak up a little bit more. But I was comfortable. I was comfortable sitting back. Before we moved to Perth a few years ago, I was in the kitchen. I can still see myself. I'm there having a conversation with my mother. And this is what I said to her. I said, when we get to Perth, I am not doing anything related to leadership. I said, I'm just going to be a mom, a psychologist, and I'm going to keep it on the down low. We know how that one turned out, right? Seriously, that was my plan. That was my plan. And she said to me, that is pride. I was like, whoa. In my head, I didn't say that to her. I was like, I thought she was on my side. And she was right. Pride, not in the way that you see it, but false humility. It's just that thing of, I'm not interested in that stuff. I just wanna do me and God, but not people. I don't wanna do people, right? A few years ago, Stephen and I were meant to go to America together. He ended up going by himself because I thought I had applied for a visa, but I didn't. I just thought, I saw myself sit in front of the computer and apply, but I must have not pressed submit. I don't know what happened. All I know is I ended up at the office and I said, I'm just here to pick up my visa. They're like, we have no application in the system. I was like, I'm sure I did it. I'm sure I filled it in. They looked, they said, there's nothing. So Stephen ended up going to America by himself. I ended up going a few years later. And I really believe it was meant to happen like that. Because the changes that happened in my heart when I went on that trip by myself, I don't think they would have happened if I had gone with Stephen. Only because we would have been spending time together doing specific things that are not necessarily the same as the ones I did when I was by myself. So one of the nights when I was there, I thought to myself, oh, it's Saturday night. What am I going to do? I'm in Orlando. I don't know. I'm new here. But tomorrow is Sunday. I want to go to church. So I went online and looked for a church. I can't remember what search terms I looked for, but I found a church, and it was called Orlando House of Prayer. So I went to this church, and when I sat there, it was this very small church, but when I sat there, I felt the presence of God, and I felt that something significant was going to happen for me in that meeting. And as I sat there, the preacher started preaching, and he started talking about false humility. And I just felt this strong urge to go up for prayer. One of the things that stood out that they said was, false humility blocks Jesus from being glorified. And false humility comes when we think we are being exalted. I don't know if you've had that experience. You hear someone say something to you, and you're like, you don't want to hear it. You think the proper thing to do, the Christian thing to do, is to say, it's all him. It's all him. And that's, I'm not saying it's all him is a problem. I'm saying we need to look at what is our motive, what's driving that. One of the things I know about Australia, I never knew this until I came to this country, was this idea of the tall poppy syndrome, right? I don't really know much about it, but my understanding of it is that people often will not try and go higher than they would because they don't want to be seen as different. They had to, everybody has to be at the same level. Have I got that right? Everyone has to be at the same level. That's a problem in the kingdom of God. Because God has a plan and a purpose for all of us, and it's different for each one of us. We have different gifts. So if I decide I'm not going to try and pursue what God has for me because I think it might look a certain way, then I'm not fulfilling the purposes of God for my life, and so I am being disobedient. False humility. So I went up for prayer, and I believe something broke there. I believe that a stronghold was broken and something opened up to allow me to be able to do something like this and stand up and say what I believe God's put in my heart. Because years ago when I would speak, what I would do is I would call all my friends. I would send text messages. I would say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I'm speaking, pray for me. I think I said that to someone in the hall today, but different motive. Who was it? Was it you? Yes. Pray for me. And God showed me one day why I was doing that. I was doing it because maybe I thought if I just say it, there'll be an extra layer of protection. The more Christians you contact to pray for you, the more protected you are, the more safer you are standing in front of a scary crowd. Right? Self-consciousness. Because if you're conscious of God, that's not a problem. Because it's His word, it's His church, so He'll take care of it. So the minute I'm saying, oh, pray for me, I make it about me. So I believe that something broke there. There's a lady called Marianne Williamson. I don't know if you've heard of her. I only discovered her because the poem of hers was shared by Nelson Mandela when he became president of South Africa many, many years ago. And for many years, I thought that was his until I discovered that, no, that was actually a poem by Marianne Williamson. And this is, it's called Our Deepest Fear. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just for some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. My favorite line, your playing small does not serve the world. So how are we to deal with spiritual pride and false humility? Two things. We have to look at positioning. Position of humility, position of unity. That's the best position to be. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Humility is shown. There's evidence of humility when we start recognizing the power and importance of prayer, the power and importance of seeking God, the power and importance of turning from our sins. We must not deny God the glory He deserves by failing to acknowledge all that He has done in our lives. Most importantly, by failing to acknowledge that He knew what He was doing when He made you. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 14, back to that one. It says, I thank God that I did not baptize, this is Paul, any of you, except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Paul was humble. Paul was distancing himself and saying, I don't want people to focus on me. But that same Paul pointed out, always said, follow our example. I am an apostle of Christ. He said things that you thought, oh, wow, okay. He was bold. King David once started dancing for the Lord, and his wife was disgusted. She said, why are you doing that? Why are you dancing like that? And you know what David said? He said, I will become even more undignified than this. That's what he said. He's like, you think this is bad? I can do worse. When I was up there, my son said to me, he's like, Mom, you look like you're about to break dance. Because I was just caught up in the wash. You look like you're just about to break dance. I said, yeah, I might just do that. I didn't because I don't know how to. The second thing is position of unity. Verse 10 says, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no more divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and in thought. Unity is powerful. We're living in very divisive times. The church is divided. Like I said, denominations. There's nothing wrong with denominations, but there's something wrong when we start to isolate ourselves and say we are better. I don't know if you've had this happen to you or have seen people do it, but people have a problem with Jehovah's Witnesses. There's jokes about Jehovah's Witnesses. I struggle with that. I struggle with people. It's one thing to joke. It's another to criticize and to mock. Right? The spirit of it is different. Unity is important. We have to keep the main things the main things. Why is it so important to deal with these issues? John chapter 17, verse 20 to 23 reads, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. It's all about the world. For God so loved the world. God is passionate about the world, not just the church, the world. Those guys out there, us, before we came in here, the world. Plans and purposes. God's plan is that the world will know. And God's idea is that we as the church, we would lead by example. You see, bondage is broken when we pray to be released from what holds us back from fulfilling the purposes of God. False humility holds us back. How many people here are living their purpose? How many people here are operating in their gifts? How many people have said, I don't think God has given me anything. I don't think I'm anything special. That's an insult to God when we say that. So what difference would it make if we did obey God? I believe we will become authentically aligned influencers. I came up with that one. Authentically aligned influencers. We will become authentic. We will be aligned with what God says about us, and we will become influencers. Luke 10, 17 to 20 says, the 72 returned with joy, right? This is with Jesus. They're coming back to Jesus, and they said, Lord, I could just see them, picture them. This is it. Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. They're like, wow, we can't believe it. Did you see what happened? that person got healed. I prayed for that person and they got healed. Even the demons. What's that about? This is what Jesus said. You see, Jesus was not always a nice guy. He replied, not in this context anyway. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He was like, you're missing the point. It's not about you. It's not about the fact that you pray for someone and they got healed. It's not about that. Okay. Truth. Satan has already fallen. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Truth. We have been given authority. Truth. We overcome all the power of the enemy. Truth. Nothing will harm us. That has to be our truth. It's God's truth, but we need alignment. Newsflash, we're good to go. That's it. We're good to go. But what we do instead, we spend time praying for things that God has already given us, asking for things God has already said they're ours. We are on the winning team. We beg God, God, please give me wisdom. He already gave it to you. Give us power. He already gave you power. Our issue is believing that he would actually give us. Poor me, playing small. Why would God even care to use me? I'm so unworthy. Nobody was ever worthy. We were never worthy. So next time you catch yourself saying, I'm so unworthy. Yes, it's true. You are unworthy. I am unworthy. We never were worthy. So we need to just get that one out of the way, so we can get to work. Misalignment, right? I said we need to be aligned. Misalignment is when you go to McDonald's or Hungry Jack's and you order a burger, chips, and then a Diet Coke. Is that you, Claire? Because we've convinced ourselves, if I just order the Diet Coke, at least. Sorry, Wes. True. But sometimes we order the Diet Coke because we think, if I just order this thing. Yeah? Misalignment. We leave church and we go gossip about the preacher. And then we come back and we say, can I pray for you? That's misalignment. But we don't see ourselves doing that. So we need to be authentically aligned, meaning we are our true version and we see ourselves as God sees us and we live in step with the truth of God. I'm nearly there. You know, one of the things that I like to do when I'm preparing for a message is to ask one of my daughters to pray for me, one in particular, because she loves to pray, the one who's back there, Bitsepo. And I said to her, could you please pray for me? I'm preaching on Sunday. She's like, sure, Mom. And this is what she prayed. I recorded it, and then I typed it up. She said, Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that on Sunday when Mom's preaching, that you'll give her the wisdom and that all the words, you just put them in her mouth so that when they come out, they'll be more powerful than any of the words she had said before. And that if she's struggling, she'll know that you're there. You boost her up to have better words. And as she looks, and Lord, she looks up to you because you are the one and only King of Kings. And you're the Lord of Lords. And you're the person who's created us. And we deserve nothing of what you've given us. And we don't have anything. Not even in a trillion years could we ever thank you for what you've done. You even sacrificed your own son for us. But now you've got lots and lots of sons and daughters. Instead of one, you've got 7 billion and more. So, Lord, at least it was worth it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I thought that was a powerful prayer from an 11-year-old. But, you know, I like to do my research because last time I thought the population of the world was 6 billion. So I went to Google and I looked it up. And it said in 2021, the population of the world is 7.8 billion. So she was right. But, you know, I asked myself, is it really? Because we have had COVID-19. So many people have died. So I wasn't sure. But here's the thing. The one died for the many. And the many are dying. So what you do, what I do, how we choose to live our numbered days on earth as followers of the one who died for the many matters. We can't afford to have false humility. We can't afford to say, no, I'm just waiting for to find out the plans of God for my life. It's already in His word. I've given you authority. He's given it to us. We don't need to ask for it. We just need to operate in it. If we are aligned, there will be a ripple effect. You see, our compassion, our love has got to go beyond the borders of our own backyard, beyond the borders of our family, beyond our own communities, beyond our own countries, beyond I. Our compassion has to go beyond I. So as I finish off, this is what I'm saying. There's a big job to be done. Satan has convinced many that he's still in control of their lives. How? I just get the band up, please. Spiritual pride in the form of self-righteousness and false humility. Not me, I am not worthy. When I first met my husband, I found him very interesting. He was just different from people I had met before. He was very different from me. You see, I was quiet in some ways. Like I said, I was that compliant child. But him, he was outspoken. He said what he thought. He used big words. I learned the word atrocious from him. When he was talking about my cooking, the first year of our marriage, I have never forgotten that. I constantly remind him. He just speaks his mind. And I used to think, what is wrong with this guy? However, I came to understand that that's actually a good thing to speak. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Don't be one thing on the outside and another on the inside. Don't be one thing with one group and another with another group. Be who you are at work and be the same at home. Your family should be able to say the same thing about you as the people out there. Then the world will know. When it says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. What big love that was. But we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We're it. So if we don't step up, the world continues to die. The world continues to not know that there's something better. Jesus loves us. He was willing to die. He was willing to die. He was willing to demonstrate that by dying a criminal's death. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you have watched The Passion of the Christ. And sometimes when I talk about the Passion of Christ, we never used to let our kids watch it because they were too young. But we're like, that movie is just, what happened to Christ was so terrible. But let me tell you something. The Passion of Christ does not even begin to reflect what happened on the cross. As bad as it is. So this message today is not really to make us feel bad. It's to make us be God conscious. And look at ourselves and look at what God wants to do with our lives. Before I became a Christian, one of the reasons why I never wanted to be a Christian is because I thought Christianity is so boring. Christians are so boring. I don't want to become one of them. But guess what? There is nothing more exciting than being a Christian. It's amazing. We have a God, a Heavenly Father who loves us. And the thing about a Father is sometimes He will just tell us sweet little nothings, good things about ourselves, and we're just so happy. We just love Him. It's all good. Everybody loves everybody. But then, there are days where He's tough, where He says, stop focusing on yourself. Stop with the false humility. Stop with the self-righteousness. People are dying. So I just finish off with this. Nobody's making you. But if there was anything that was said this morning that pricked your heart and you're ready for a miracle of the heart, as I said in the beginning, that was my intention. If that is you, please, I would encourage you to come up to the front because I want to pray. This is an opportunity to allow God to break things. In particular, if you've had that experience of spiritual pride or self-righteousness, if you've had that issue of false humility where you're saying, not me, I am not worthy, please step up because we just want to pray or get a few of the leaders to help me with the prayer. Thank you.
Great. Fantastic. Thanks, Yunami. Why don't we stand to our feet? Ms. Azunami has, give her a hand. Fantastic. Awesome depth to that message. Thank you, Yunami. But please, let's play part of the song. And if you'd like to come forward, let's allow Yunami just to pray and let's have some freedom in the house today before we finish up. Amen. God bless you. Otherwise, we're going to close our service as soon as we finish this song. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you out in the foyer.